Good morning, everyone. Let's take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to have a launch verse there in just a few moments, and then we'll spend the remainder of our time in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you want to go ahead and find those, that'd be terrific. 1 Corinthians 11 and Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start all the way back in Genesis before I get to 1 Corinthians 11. Remind us of what we looked at last week. Hello. I hope it's not a ballistic missile incoming. If it is, we're in the right place. John chapter 13, we looked at last week. I want to remind you of one verse. 34th verse says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." We gave a teaching on that last week and determined what love is, a definition of love, and how that's supposed to look inside the Church of the Living God. I'd encourage you, if you missed last week, to go out and pull that down on the website and listen to that. I think it'll be helpful to you. I think it'll be foundational for you if you've not heard that teaching heretofore. The family unit is in trouble today. I said trouble. It is in trouble, but it's not terminated. What we see around us today in our society is we see the effects of sociology. People looking and looking at people and seeing what people think and believe and feel and how they want to go about things. And then what we see is an adjustment in our society to the sociology. The problem with that is that as believers, we are not to be adjusted by sociology. We are to be so adjusted by theology. And when the world around us gets adjusted by sociology and we move with it, we're just as guilty as they are. Our theology is supposed to fashion our world view. Our theology is to fashion what sociology is involved in, not the other way around. You see, this was the idea in the beginning. This is not a new thing I'm talking about here. This was from the beginning that God had in mind. You see, way back there in Genesis chapter 1, God gave mankind global authority. Genesis chapter 1 gave mankind, man in general, global authority. He said to man, "You're going to rule the earth. You're going to have dominion. You're going to run the earth." And then he goes on and puts more to the story, and the more to the story is, "And if you'll run it the way I want it run, I will provide for you. I'll make provision for you." So God's design and plan was for man to rule the earth, but to rule it in righteousness, to rule it under godly principle. And that when man would do that, then God would bless that man. He would provide for that man. In Genesis chapter 2, we have things further divided. Now we're no longer looking at man in general ruling the earth. We begin to see in Genesis chapter 2 that one man is in charge of one location. We begin to zero in on Adam and the garden that he was to rule and to have dominion over. Broken further down, you see, into a family unit. You see, the family unit is the foundation. The family unit is the foundation for everything that God has in mind here. It's the family unit that is to rule, have dominion, and to do it God's way in order that there be provision for that unit. Now, isn't that interesting? So this is God's plan from the beginning. His idea from the beginning. Adam becomes the prototype of other men who will come, who are to have authority in their garden, have authority in their area, in their scope of reference, in their locale, if you will, in their family. And if we run it his way, the promise is that he will provide for us. Society is redefining the family. Sociology is redefining the family. My question this morning is, are you? Are you following the design that God has for the family this morning? Now, we use the launching pad of love here because love has to play out in so many different ways and in so many different things, and love is not a feeling. Love's a command according to the scripture that we just started with. The command is for us to love, which means that a definition of love is simply this, that love is a decision. Love is a decision to compassionately and righteously pursue, care for the well-being of another. In the beginning, God set up the family unit as the foundation for everything. It's the first foundation that was laid, the first plank in human government, if you will. The first plank in human government is the family unit. And then beyond that comes out all the things that we see working out in this world today. But the basic unit that God put in place and wants to bless and wants to provide for is the family unit. And he desires that the family unit function properly in order that he can provide and that he can meet the need of the world in general. The family unit is designed to work perfectly and wonderfully. Families are in trouble because men are not running the garden God's way. Men are not running the garden that God has placed them in charge of in His way. Biblical manhood is in very short supply today. Many of us have not had good examples of biblical manhood to follow. Nor are many of us setting good examples for others to follow. For the next generation to come along behind us. Now, we can't change what's behind us and the mess that we've made of yesterday. We're not going to be able to change that. But what we can do is we can start where we are. We can start right where we are and make things better. We can start where we are and become the father that we ought to be. We can start right where we are and become the husbands that we ought to be. Single guys, I'm going to give you a direction. I'm going to give you something to live up to become. You may have had or may not have had a good role model in biblical manhood. But what I'm going to give today is going to be that model. And you can break the cycle. The cycle can be broken of dysfunction. Because God is good at breaking dysfunction and providing what His people stand in need of. Single ladies, I'm going to give you an example of the man you ought to be waiting for, looking for, and praying for. God has a blueprint for manhood as relates to the family. There was a fella sitting in a doctor's office, struck up a conversation with the man next to him. The man next to him noticed that he had a wedding ring on, but that it was on his right hand. And he turned to the man and said, "Are you married?" He said, "Yes, I am." He says, "You do realize that you have that wedding ring on the wrong hand?" The man said, "Yes, I do. And the reason is that I married the wrong woman." You realize this morning that God made women to be responders. Women are made and wired up to be responders. They're wired up to respond to authority. They're wired up to respond to the rule of the man in the family. And when I say the rule of the man in the family, all of a sudden some of you want to check out anyway. What do you mean rule? Listen, we're dead equal in this room. God created man and woman equal. But he didn't position them equally. He did not position us equally. He puts things in order for a reason. Wired up women to be responders, and he wired up men to be an authority. We're going to take a quick look today at what that means. And I want to challenge you this morning to move up. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me show you something here. Then I'm going to add to it in Ephesians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. What this is saying very plainly and clearly here for us this morning is that there is an alignment that must be in place. An alignment that must be in place if God's design for this old world is going to go to the place that He wants it to go to. There is an alignment that is very important to Him. Christ lined Himself up under God. I mean lined Himself up under the authority of God. Placed Himself under the authority of God the Father. Points to God the Father. Christ lined Himself up under God the Father. He desires that every man line himself up under Christ. Under that umbrella of authority that Christ provides, every man is to stand. Perfectly aligned. Receiving orders. Receiving instruction. Moving as the Lord would have him to move. Underneath that man who is underneath Christ, who is underneath God, is to stand a woman. Under the authority, under the headship of a man. This is the design that God has. This is the design for the family. This is the basic building block of all of society. The basic building block and the first plank of human government we're talking about here. Of everything to take place on this planet. When man is out of his place, so is the woman out of her place. At the same time, if a man is lined up with God and the woman is not lined up with the man, if the children are not lined up with the man, the family's in trouble. Now let's add to this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 as we build. Build one idea, one precept. built upon another precept. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Have you really, really read that before? The way that it is put here? There is a picture here of a type that a man and woman are to exemplify. And the type that we have laid out in the beginning of this idea in family is that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior in this relationship. That means that the man is the Savior in a relationship. I'll get to more to that in just a moment. I know a lot of women don't like this one. And the reason is that they have seen how it works when God isn't the head of the man. Buddy, when it works right, it works right. This is intended to be beautiful and wonderful. Fortunately, that's what we've not seen. We've seen so much of the other that we don't want to trust someone. But when we see it as God intends it, then it's a very beautiful thing. What is the head? Well, a lot of men will say, well, that means I'm the boss. I run this show. I'm the head of this house. I'm in charge of what takes place. I'm the master of this domain. Headship is not that. The headship that is being talked about here is for a man to be the governing authority. The governing authority in this relationship. Kind of like a head of state. Headship means that you have governing responsibility for something. Back to definition of love. You have governing responsibility to oversee the well-being of those that are placed under your authority. It means to rule your world God's way. That's what headship is all about. This is the origination point, the point that God wanted propagated throughout this world for time as we know it. That was His design for mankind, His ideal for mankind. For man to have headship, care for the well-being of those that are placed under him, care in all of these things, overseeing that responsibility, ruling the world God's way, advancing the kingdom as you lead your family is what this is talking about. Advancing the kingdom of God as a family is being led. Husband isn't just a title, it's a position. And with that position comes a great deal of responsibility to provide, to protect, to govern. 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, the picture that we have here of these two things, Christ and the church and husbands and wives, tells us the context that we're supposed to have for this headship issue. What's the context? Love. Love. What's love? Listen to last week's sermon. I've already given you a working definition here this morning. It's not an emotion. Like is an emotion. Love is not an emotion. It's a command. Therefore, love is a decision to compassionately and righteously pursue or care for the well-being of another. That's why we can love our enemies. Jesus loved the church. How long did he love it? He loved it to death. Jesus is the Savior. He's the rescuer. He's the deliverer. From what? From sin. Yes? He rescues from sin. Saves from sin. Saves, delivers. He's a savior, you see. Man is to be a savior to his woman. He's to be the rescuer of that woman from what is wrong with her. Just as the church was delivered from what was wrong with her, men are to deliver the wife from what's wrong with her. Men are to be little Jesus in the home. Men are supposed to be deliverers, not complainers. Not, I got the wrong woman. The moment you said, I do, she became the right woman. As you respond to Jesus, your wife is to respond to you. The response that you have to the Lord is the response that a wife is to have to her husband. You're not her accuser. You are her deliverer. And you can't be a savior and not carry a cross. God wired up women to be responders to the headship of the man that is in the family. Single guys, come to the place, I just love her. I just love her. Well, you haven't seen her eat like she eats when she's alone. Because she don't eat the same way she eats with you. You ain't seen her yet with the flu. I just love her. Because what you're doing is you're equating that with an emotion of some kind. You haven't come to the place of maturity and understanding what love is about. And the hardness and the hardship of some of it to go through and understand what that love is really, really, really all about. Because love's not that emotion. You like her pretty good, but are you ready for the responsibility of headship? Because that's where it's supposed to be heading. Are you ready for the responsibility of headship in a family unit? A brand new unit that did not exist before. When two become one, it's your neck on the line now. This is not a dual responsibility, not a dual role when you come into headship. Because even when you didn't do it, you're the one responsible for it under headship. Need to slow down. Need to make yourself ready. Need to prepare to become the head. To prepare to be lined up the way you need to be lined up. In order that that woman can be lined up under one that's lined up properly. You have to align yourself under the head. Make yourself ready. Align your head under the head that you have. You ain't ready to lead. You best get ready to lead. Single girls, is he ready to deliver you? This is a question you need to ask. Is he ready to deliver you? Is he ready to become the head of a new unit? Is he mature in the faith enough to be responsible as your head? This is one of the reasons that the Lord tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because this alignment is going to affect everything in your life. If you go into something with that alignment out of whack to start with, your life is going to be out of whack to start with. Vitally important that you take a good, long, hard look at the one that you're going to be trusting to be responsible for you as your head. Are you ready to come out from underneath the headship of daddy and place yourself under the headship of this young individual? Jacob spent 14 years working for the hand of Rebekah. He spent 14 years demonstrating his love for this gal. That's what it was, a demonstration of, 14 years before they said, I do. He demonstrated his love. But God commendeth his love toward us. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, when we needed delivering, when we needed a Savior, Christ died for us. As Christ is the head of the church, the husband is to be the head of the wife, the Savior of, demonstrating that love, demonstrating it in such a way that she responds to it, because that's how she's wired up. There ain't no fireworks show that lasts for 14 years. It takes a man properly aligned with God to deliver those that are under his headship. It's no accident to have a right relationship with God. We're to seek a compassionate and righteous way. We're to seek the well-being of those that we are to cover. Biblical manhood doesn't just happen when we get saved. I wish it did. But it doesn't just happen when we get saved. It's a lifelong journey. And the moment we get lax, the moment we stop progressing, is the moment that we endanger those that we are meant to deliver. Are you a little Jesus in your home, men? Oh my, I've got work to do. Look at verse 26. Not only is the man to be a savior to the wife, to the woman, savior to the wife, says here in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Not only is the husband to be a deliverer, he's a sanctifier. Sanctifier. Jesus delivers, saves, and then he sanctifies. Sanctify means to set apart and make special. To set apart and make special. Best thing that I can kind of liken that to that you'll get right off is that set of dishes that you have in the dining room. It's not your kitchen dishes. It's your special dishes. The ones you just use for special things. Put them behind the glass case. They're not your everyday stuff. They're your special stuff. You want to take care of your special stuff. After you save her, sacrifice for her, you're to set her apart. You're to make her special. Sanctification is to take someone from where they are to where they need to be. Taking someone from where they are to where the Lord wants them to eventually be. That's a transformation. And the transformation we're talking about here in the family unit, which is the basis for everything, the transformation that we're talking about here is through the influence of love. What if she won't? What if she resists me? What if she won't cooperate with what it is that I'm trying to work in our family? What if that takes place? Men, you have to own that. You have to own that. That's your responsibility. You have to own that. She has a flaw. She has a problem. You have to take responsibility for that. Your job is to align yourself with God in such a way that God makes provision for you, helps you with her. You have to own this thing to be a biblical man. Truth be told, if we'd treated our lady back in the day like we do now, she probably wouldn't have married us. Huh? Now, I'm the exception to that rule. But in a bad way. Now, you see, I treated that gal bad in the beginning. I did the bad boy thing. And she got to run in with the bad boy. And then the bad boy got saved. That don't happen often. That don't happen often. Don't you dare take that as an example of something to pattern your life after. Don't you dare. Don't you dare to do that. Because I tell you of a truth that she was completely out of the will of God to marry this guy at the time that she married me. So the reverse was true. I treated her terrible. Now I just treat her not near so terrible. But most of you went the other way. You treated them real good, and now you got them. And you don't take as much pain to do like you did before. Single ladies, don't you mess with the bad boys. Because you can't change them. You're not going to change that guy. God's the only way, the only thing that'll change them from their core. And you're not God. And you're not going to force his hand by marrying one of them. You best be careful. Tread lightly when you go against the clear directive that God lays out for you. Most of you went from a guy hanging around to, he's all right. To, through a progression of, he's kind of nice. To, I think I love him. And the reason being that you guys put on the dog. My wife thought I was a rich man until we got married. She thought I had all the money in the world. Boy, I had her, didn't I? Huh? She thought I was the richest guy in 4 states. I spent every dime I had on her. And go back to work for the whole week after that, eat nothing. Eat air. Beg baloney from a friend. Get that check cashed, run to see her, and put on the dog, man. Put on the dog. Go to the best restaurants, tip like a big spender. Huh? So I took her from he's all right to he's kind of nice to I think I love him because we put the dog on. You see, God wires a woman to respond. Women respond to what the man puts out there. When you work her right, she responds. When you work her wrong, she responds. Women are wired to respond. When you're aligned right, gentlemen, when you're aligned right with God and you work her right under that alignment, she will respond right. Because that's how God made her. 31st verse. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. A lot of very interesting and pointed truth in that verse. Much more there than meets the eye. The response. There's a response from the woman in this verse. The man leaves his father and his mother. It's an alignment issue now. There's an alignment issue that's in place here. In order for a unit to be formed, it is Christ aligned under God, man aligned under Christ, and a woman aligned under the man. This is a new unit. This is the unit that is propagated in be fruitful and multiply. This is how this earth is to be ruled. This earth is to be dominated by the man. This is how it's supposed to be. The man leaves his father and his mother, gets his alignment right. Notice it doesn't go Christ aligned under God, mom and daddy aligned under Christ, and the man aligned under mom and daddy. That'll never work. That's not a new unit. That's still under the old headship. That's not how things are to progress in this life. And so the man leaves his father and mother, forms the alignment that is supposed to be in place. He joins her, it says, not the other way around. Quit shopping for men, by the way. He joins her. Then and only then do they become one. See the process? See the progress? See the response? He forms a unit by aligning himself under Christ, who aligns himself under God, and then joins himself to this woman. Her response then is to align herself under him. The new unit's form. A man in authority over his garden now. Now he's in his garden. And this alignment is in place for his dominion and provision for him in as long as he does things God's way. God will provide for him. The man has to move first. The woman responds. When he moves, when he leads, when he takes ownership, when he loves like he should, she will respond. Because she's wired up that way. Verse 28. The next piece. Final piece that we're looking at here this morning. That man in that aligned relationship becomes the Savior. Becomes the Deliverer. He also becomes the Sanctifier. And the third piece of this is that he becomes the Satisfier. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The first two pieces of this are easy compared to the third piece of this, where a man becomes the Satisfier. The job is to make Christ look good. That's what this comparison is about. The job of the man is to make Christ look good. It's the job of the woman to make the church look good. As long as men, women, children stay out of alignment, the divorce rate's going to keep climbing. Jesus always meets legitimate needs. Do you not realize that? He always meets legitimate needs. And men, we are to meet the legitimate needs that our wives, these women, need. How do we find out what her need is? Here's where it gets hard. We have to listen. We got to listen. Not provide a solution till she's told us all of it. And that's a process. Because things need to be emoted at times. And our job, in order to find out what the need is and to understand how to proceed, is that we must listen. It's the hardest thing in my life. To listen for the legitimate need that is there in order to be the deliverer that I'm designed to be. I want to shoot from the hip and give one quick answer and let them go off and work on that while I go ahead and watch the fourth quarter of the game that has just been interrupted. Hello? We can't be a satisfier if when they begin to emote that we check the watch. It's not going to go well for us. That biblical man can disappear so quick when that biblical man needs to be listening. But look here, there's a way around that too. Rather than having that conversation come up when you don't want it to come up, then the biblical man brings that conversation to the fore prior to. It is necessary that we listen in order that we understand where things are not in alignment so that we can deliver and set apart that one that God has placed us in headship over. Our whole life can't be lived like it's the fourth quarter of a playoff game. In order to nourish and cherish, we have to make time. And if we're to understand, then we're going to have to listen, or we'll get a response that's wrong. If responses are more frequently wrong in your home, then you have to own it, men. Because everything depends on the alignment that you have. Everything is dependent on you. Divorce, oh, it takes two to mess it up. That's what I hear. But the problem more often than not is that man is not aligned. Not aligned in giving what he's supposed to be giving in order that the response comes in the proper way. You got to own it. You have to own it. Or it's not going to change. Stories told about a father that had two daughters. One of those daughters was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. Second of his daughters was very homely. Stories told that a very rich man in the town approached the man and asked him for the hand of his daughter in marriage. This was in the days of the dowry. Word quickly riffled through the town that the very rich and influential man was willing to pay 10 cows for the hand of the daughter in marriage. Now, this excited the father. It excited the girls there in the family. And so the day came. The rich man led the 10 cows into the front of the father's house. The father had both of his girls come out, the very beautiful and gorgeous gal and the very homely one. And much to the surprise of the father and of the gorgeous daughter and the homely daughter, the man chose the homely girl and took her off to his home with him. The father went to visit the daughter there after a good little while, a year or so had passed. And when he got to the house here, the girl came out and she was stunning. There was such a transformation that had taken place in her. She was gorgeous and beautiful and made up and looked like a million bucks. And he said, "What in the world took place here? What has happened to you?" And the homely gal, or formerly homely gal, said, "I'm going to start looking like a 10-cow woman." That's what I did when he brought me home. I purposed in my heart to begin to look like a 10-cow woman. And boy, she did. She was something. She said she wanted to reflect the value that he had placed on her. Gentlemen, if your woman's not a 10-cow woman, maybe you better take some cows home today. Huh? Maybe you need to take some cows home today and show the value that you place on that gal. See, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about love and the basis for everything that we have with all of this. See, it's a very fundamental thing that the Lord requires of us. And these alignments, vitally important in all that we have. A biblical man saves, sanctifies, and satisfies his woman. He moves, and she responds. And when everything is in alignment in that way, then the kingdom is advanced. When the kingdom is not advanced, sociology takes over. And what we have today is we have sociology taking over everything in our sphere. And what has to happen is that the family has to be picked back up. The family, which is the basic building block of humanity, has to be put back in view and done properly. And friends, we can't change everything in every place, but we can change what takes place here. And we can change it today. We can start now moving forward. How many cows you need to take home? I got a trailer full of them out back. I'm going to raise enough money to pave the rest of the parking lot this morning. Amen. Well, I wish I'd have thought ahead like that. Huh? If I'd have thought ahead like that, we could have really made a deal here today. This is what we're talking about. We started with love last week. This is an extension of that love this morning into the family unit. Next week, we're going to take a look at the gal. We're going to look at the woman and take a look at how that love plays out in that woman's life, okay? Now, I got on the men this week. We'll get on the women next week. We'll get our love right, and we'll all move forward in the right way. Everybody okay with me? Still love me? I still love you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.